on demand.
Hi, I'm Jim Stroud. Welcome to the Recruiter's Lounge. The Recruiter's Lounge is a podcast of news, interviews, and commentary on the recruiting industry, and it was designed with you in mind. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your time in the Recruiter's Lounge.
Welcome to the Recruiter's Lounge. I'm your host, Jim Stroud, and with me in the Recruiter's Lounge chair is David Dahlke. How are you, David?
I'm doing great there, Jim. It's nice to be here in the lounge.
For those who may be familiar with you, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, first of all, you can find me on LinkedIn. That's an easy place. And then I'm somebody that's had a distinguished career in financial services, tying together disparate data sets to create better results in terms of return on investment, and also better results in terms of communications clearly with clients and innovation from that. So I think that as I look to transition from the financial services area to search engines, it's why it's interesting to me. I've had experiences doing those types of things before, and it's been exciting though to learn about the similarities as this is a much younger industry at this point.
I think it's because of our mutual passions in search engines and the technology that powers them that we sort of connected, especially over one product, Intellext, which we discussed earlier. Now, I had blogged about them and their product earlier on, I think last year on my blog, but you actually had an interview with Dr. J and the CEO, Al Wasserberger, over there. And before we cut into the interview, tell me, what was it like to talk with them?
It was very interesting and dynamic because they're trying to do something that's very different, and they're changing the search experience from something that's active where you're thinking about what you're typing into a box to where you're just having something on the side of your screen and it's actively monitoring what you're doing on your screen, whether that's in the on a web page or whether that's a Word document or whether that's a text file or whatever, and it sometimes brings a lot of results to you that you might not have thought about, and they're both very interesting and dynamic guys. For a PhD, Dr. J is really interesting and dynamic. He was very interested in learning about my experiences using the product and explaining his vision for it, and he's got a whole bunch of ideas about where it can go in the future, including some of the mobile applications and things like that. And Al has had a successful career with a lot of other technology ventures, and he's working on the distribution pieces, and it's clear that they're having fun together, and I look forward to continuing the conversation with them.
So tell me, David, what are some of the better opportunities you see out there? You look at a lot of companies out there in the Web 2.0 universe. What do you see as some great opportunities?
Yeah, actually, as I've been networking at the various conferences and things that I go to, and I'm meeting some really interesting people with some very cutting-edge ideas, I'm finding that the best opportunities, Jim, they're not actually Web 2.0 opportunities. Mm. They're a little less about buzz and image, and they're a little bit more about different revenue models and different acquisition of customer models and different measurement models. And I think that that's where the real opportunities in the next couple of years are going to be in terms of what could be disruptive in the search engine marketplace.
Okay. Now, I know you're going to be hanging out at the OnRec, which is coming up. What do you expect to receive from attending OnRec this year?
Yeah, as I've gotten from becoming friends with you and Shally and other people in the space, including Jill Cheeseman, who's going to be a speaker there, it's seeing the similarities between the search engine marketing and search engine optimization and the related areas and what you guys do, because it's really one degree away. It's the same type of marketplace. It's just a different vertical, and it's amazing to me to see the types of things that are going on within it, because it's there's some best practices that I think can be adopted and cross fertilized from both of them that maybe aren't fully happening at the rate that they should yet. And then, of course, I'm looking forward to meeting some great people and making some great business contacts and networking with them and getting to learn about the organizations they represent, of course.
Well, in terms of networking, if someone approaches you, just sort of to give them a leg up, what are some of your biggest strengths?
My biggest strengths are, seeing the big picture opportunities in large disparate data sets. For example, Jim, right now, have, you know, there's the search engine data, and eventually there's going to be, you know, the location-based services and RFID data that's going to go along with that, that's going to enable some pretty exciting things. You know, I really enjoy networking and interacting at conferences because it creates, you know, business development opportunities and partnering opportunities, and as you know, the best companies on the web are the ones that are partnering frequently and most successfully, because it's, you know, that's what brings the, you know, the web companies together and drives the traffic across them. And then of course, you know, innovating based on customer listening. I'm really passionate about using blogs and other social media to create the, you know, the change. There's a real large change in the way business is being conducted now. It's less about strategy push, and it's more about, you know, what does this customer need from me right now to be satisfied? And I think that there's a lot of change going on there. We're not all the way there yet, and in some companies we've only just started to think about this, and I think it's going to be a very exciting road to travel down.
If someone wanted to get in contact with you and just sort of touch base with you on a personal level, how could they do that?
They could go to my blog, which is daviddalka.com, or they could come by and just literally just call me. You know, the old-fashioned phone does wonders. 773-871-8188, and I don't bite, at least not on the first phone call. And you know, we can go from there.
David Dalka, thank you for your time in the Recruiter's Lounge.
Thank you.
So without further ado, this is guest correspondent David Dalka talking with Intellect.
Hi, this is Dave Dalka, and I'm here today with Al Wasserberger, the CEO of Intellect, and Dr. J, the creator of Intellect, and we're going to talk about Intellect. So they have a product called Watson, which is an extremely unique search tool that enables, Watson analyzes your current open web page or other documents and suggests content based on the contextual elements.
Yeah, it's kind of like a companion. As you're working, it finds you things that you need to know based on what you're working on. So it can understand what's more or less important on a page based on how it's presented, what you're focusing on. It can understand what's more or less important based on what you're writing, what paragraph you're in, what's the heading on the page, what's the copyright notice in the background that really isn't as important to what you're doing. And so we've built up a whole set of technologies for understanding what you're doing and going and finding new things.
Gotcha. I've found it to be most helpful in my usage in the month or so that I've been using it for writing correspondence and bringing other events that are on the web to me that I wouldn't have otherwise thought about, and it's kind of reframed my experiences with that.
That's probably the number one comment that we get from users is, I found this thing that I didn't know existed in a place I never would have looked at a time when I wasn't thinking about looking for something, but it was really helpful to me. And whether that's a better deal when I'm shopping, or whether I'm corresponding with somebody and I find information about them that helps me with that correspondence, or whether I'm building some kind of presentation and find that the person down the hall or a person across the country did something similar that's going to help me make a better presentation. Users don't use search as a primary activity, right? We're writing documents, we're corresponding, we're browsing, right? When we search is when we think, hey, I need something and I think I know where to get it. Watson really takes that experience and turns it on its head for users. They get what they need even when they don't think they should be looking for something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so who is the typical Watson user currently, and what audiences should consider adopting the usage?
We see a wide variety of users, information workers inside of companies, random consumers out on the web trying to find a better deal, bloggers who really want to know what's going on online and have a hard time figuring out who's the relevant person to link to and what issues are coming up out there that they don't know about. But it's been a diverse group across the board, from mom and pop at their from their home who have a hard time using their computer to really advanced users.
Any of those groups of users surprised you guys in terms of the types?
Yeah, I think we thought early on that it would be sophisticated IT users and businesses, or purely early adopters, folks like you and I who look at new technology and get a kick out of trying new things. We get comments from people all over the place from a demographic perspective that we say, how did this person who runs a print shop in Des Moines, Iowa, how does this elementary school teacher in Colorado, right, where did they find this and how did they get it? And the experiences they tell us about and the information that they find is a constant surprise. We do get a lot of early adopters, right? I mean, you know, this technology appeals to people who want to be participating in the next generation of what's going on technology-wise. But the applicability to everyday people has been a real pleasant surprise. I think we've also been very lucky that that journalists and bloggers, by the very nature of what they do, consume and create content, have turned out to be a great target audience. So every time a journalist or a blogger decides that they want to try Watson for the purpose of writing an article, we've got somebody who's converted, right? And they become a user. And that's a good thing when people who are influential and share their opinions become fans of your product.
I would certainly agree with that, as I'm living proof of it, I guess. In your latest version, you've provided some interesting integrations into other, you know, personalized data sets on the web that are kind of unique.
We wanted to attach to the places where people are paying, you know, spending all their time, right? So we connected to MySpace and Friendster and LinkedIn and other social networking tools and sites that specialize in indexing podcasts. And we had a stable of connectors that we built up to information sources that we couldn't really release because they weren't really applicable to the professional IT market, and that was the only product that allowed people to configure and connect to information sources. So once we decided to make that functionality free and give it to everyone, we were excited to release those additional connection points.
This whole social networking phenomenon has been, you know, taken everybody by surprise, right? Including probably the people who created it. Mm-hmm. And people literally sit and explore their network and explore friends based on common interests, and that's turning into a little bit of a primary activity, right? I'm going to spend a couple hours on MySpace exploring. I'm going to go explore my LinkedIn network and see if there's somebody that I should be talking to. The idea that we can bring those people together based on what you're doing right now and when they're going to be most helpful or when you're going to want to have a conversation really changes that game. And so, you know, it's great from a business perspective to be able to attach to a phenomenon that's growing that fast. But from a user experience perspective, right, when you're looking to buy the tickets for that Shakira concert next week at the United Center, that's the time that you want to know about other people in your network who also happen to be Shakira fans.
Yeah, I had an experience the other day where I was looking at a company's webpage and it found me contacts in my LinkedIn network that were actually Al's contacts that I didn't know about that I could call up and make that, you know, that initial introduction through. And I wouldn't have thought to go search LinkedIn. I mean, mm-hmm. I have it set up, I have my people in there, and that's kind of what I've done with it. And when people ask me for things, I respond. But it's not, you know, something that I do all the time. And so to be reminded of that value, you know, of that network and who Al knows and who I know on a more continual basis is really cool for me.
Gotcha. It's interesting that you mentioned MySpace and that. You know, a lot of sites have integrated in the MySpace and it hasn't turned out so well in terms of a friendly relationship with them, but you guys seem to bring them traffic and it's a different dynamic than they do. Can I talk about that difference?
Well, we don't have a relationship with MySpace. We frankly don't have relationships with most of the content providers that users connect their Watson to. But as a content provider, anything that brings you traffic and doesn't cost you money is a good thing, right? And the you know, you run, whether it's a Hoover's business site or LinkedIn site or it's a MySpace or it's a CNET, you measure your customer acquisition costs and then you monetize those hits. What they want to see is more ways of driving users to their sites, and this only provides upside to them. So everybody that we've connected to that we've spoken with either before or afterwards is very excited about having the community connected there because there's so much content there that people don't consume because they don't think to go look. right? Every time you go to a MySpace page, or Jay goes, or another user goes to a MySpace page, they get money.
I mean, if you think about it from a publisher's perspective, you know, I place an ad on Google and it gets syndicated through Google's network. Google has to sign up a lot of websites to get that coverage, right? Since we're a desktop product and people can keep us open while they're visiting anywhere on the web, and they can keep us open while they're writing or while they're reading their email or whatever, that user then stays with you, right? So from a publisher, I have content that I want to drive people to. I can now have a more persistent relationship with that user. It's an exciting model for them.
Right. They tend to get disintermediated by the search engines, right? When you want to find information, do you go to MySpace? Do you go to LinkedIn? Do you go to CNET? Do you go, right? No, you go to a search box, right? And you count on that general approach to tell you what you need, and therefore Google or Yahoo or MSN or Technorati become the arbiter of what you see and when you see it, as opposed to the user deciding, these are the sources that are important to me, and I'm going to see information that's relevant when I need it from those sources, right? We saw the industry move into RSS in the last couple of years, and people start to use RSS readers, and these are the bloggers I subscribe to, and these are the other sources I subscribe to, and that's kind of turned into an information overload problem too now, right? If you look at the number of blogs that I subscribe to, which is probably well short of the number that you subscribe to, the activity every day of just keeping up with what the people I care about are seeing becomes burdensome, right? With Watson, now that all of that stuff is indexed in Watson, I don't have to read every message, because I know if I'm dealing with an issue and you've got something to say, or somebody else I care about has something to say on that issue, I'm going to know about it right away.
But yet you still have some interesting strategic partners, and what role do they play in your ultimate growth and revenue plans?
Well, in retail, the secret to success is location, location, location. In software and internet business, it's distribution, distribution, distribution. And so for us, when we have the ability to form distribution relationships with people like MSN, right, not only does it give us credibility, that's a much broader user base than we can reach by ourselves. They get something in return too, right? A, if they've got content that they want to monetize and they're distributing Watson, and they're likely to have, you know, we don't change the algorithms, but by the fact that we're including content sources in Watson, they get to drive more traffic. But a lot of our partners have that disintermediation thing in common, right? It's in their best interest for users to not have to go to a search box to get information. Right? More often than not, when people go to a search box, they're going to a Google search box. If they don't have to go to a search box, they still get what they need. Microsoft wins. If Zoom Info profiles are being provided whenever you're looking at an Outlook contact record, and they're not waiting for the user to go to Google and go search for a biography, and hopefully they've done their SEO right in getting it there, then Zoom Info wins.
You recently won a grant in regards to some issues with Homeland Security. Could you briefly describe what that's about?
Yeah, it's a simple kind of extension, right? You can imagine you have all these different data sources about potential perpetrators of crimes, right? And a crime analyst is sitting there with a complaint in front of them. Well, wouldn't it be nice if all of the data about all of the aspects of that incident came to them? That's the basic idea.
Gotcha. So I guess one of the interesting things that's kind of come really in the focus in our conversation here is that Watson has turned search from an active activity to a passive activity. And what else should the world know about the future of where Watson is going?
Well, Watson's really about linking a context with information and services. And today, that context is the document you're writing or the web page that you're reading. But you can think about all sorts of contexts that Watson could be delivering services in, and all sorts of services that Watson could be tying to, right? So we're starting to see some of that today as we tie to social networking sites and get you people that are related to what you're doing. But imagine a version of Watson that's listening to the music you're listening to, or a version of Watson that's not on your computer, but is instead living on some email server, so that when you get an email on your BlackBerry, it's got enterprise data attached to it. Or a version of Watson that sits on your TiVo box and tells you about the stuff online that's related to whatever you're watching in the news. And then imagine those Watsons connecting you with the people in your network that you care about so that you can do real-time chat with them, right? So this context understanding technology really enables all these kinds of services across devices, across experiences, so that, you know, now it's about your computer saying, hey, you know, we have these things for you now. We can tell, you know, we can tell that you might be interested in them. Do you want to take a look or not?
All right, well, thank you so much for spending time with me today, gentlemen.
Thank you for coming over.
And I'm sure we'll speak again.
Well, that's it for this show. You've been a wonderful audience. If you like what you heard, love what you heard, or just plain hate what you just heard, let me know. Your feedback matters. You can reach me through my website at jimstroud.com/podcast. That's jimstroud.com/podcast. So until next time, I'm Jim Stroud, and you're not.
Radio, Radio, Radio Talent Zoo.
Innovative audio on demand.